As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Will that be enough? 'Cause they didn't know if that was enough. These are our nation's greatest minds. They are literally rocket scientists. 100 tampons. 100 tampons.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. Today's episode brought to you by Neutral Vodka Seltzer, made with real vodka, real seltzer, and real juice. It's Neutral, the one with the umlaut. It's Friday, March 10th, 2023. This is The Drop. And I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me as always, Tass Mellis.
Thank you out there for having No Dunks Pond to Replay.
Next to Tassie, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, we call him JD.
Hello!
There he is!
I've been singing 100 tampons for a week now.
She's got a beautiful voice.
It's
catchy.
So catchy. Oh my God.
It's a great cold open, JD. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Like the vid, comment away, please subscribe. Get your No Dunks merch, like this gorgeous shirt my guy Tassie's wearing. Go to nodunks.com for the hoodies and the t-shirts and the mugs and the hats. That just pops on your chest, man. Can I say that to you?
You just did.
Look at that. Nice zoom.
Yeah, that's nice. That's actually the second time I've seen this shirt today already.
What?
My nephew was wearing it when I woke up this morning.
Respect.
Went to bed in a No Dunks shirt, woke up for a classic. Much smaller size, though. I hadn't seen a kid's one yet. Looks great.
A tiny little shoe.
I thought maybe he was wearing yours to bed. Yeah. As a nighty.
Like a nightgown?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Guys, if you're a Survivor fan, we had a new No Buffs podcast that we posted yesterday, recapping episode 2 of Survivor 44. We started this one off with quite the discussion about rifling through your kid's poop to find the teeth they swallowed.
You know, Survivor stuff.
Yeah. Good first 10 minutes of that podcast. So check that out if you're into that kinky stuff. And hey, this is fun. Keep your ears on our No Dunks podcast feed this weekend, because we're going to start re-releasing our 2021 summer pod series that we called Fast Friends, where we tackled every single movie from the Fast and Furious franchise. So yeah, we are going to drop the first one this weekend, and then for the next 10 weeks as we make our way to Fast X, which will be in theaters, and you know that we'll get together and watch. Hell, we got to go to the movie theater watch and then do a podcast on it. But yeah, this is the plan. Maybe you missed this the first time around. It's up on YouTube. We're not going to like repost it. We'll share the link on Twitter and stuff like that, but why not? I have a feeling, JD, a lot of people missed this the first time around, and maybe there's people out there like, do I need to watch all 10 movies? Or, you know, because we're including Hobbs and Shaw. It gets a little confusing. The answer is not really, but you should listen to these podcasts.
You don't have to. Definitely don't have to watch the movies, but it helps for sure. You know what the best thing about this is? They're already done. They're in the can.
I know.
I barely have to do anything for this one. I just drag and drop. Enjoy, people.
Yeah.
You're suggesting to people, instead of watching the 10 movies before the next Fast and the Furious movie, to listen to podcasts, which are exactly the same length, essentially.
But Tass,
before
but
the
Tass,
next instead.
You can do many other things listening to our podcast.
That's true.
Listening to the Fast Friends podcast. You can be mowing the lawn,
for
doing
sure.
dishes.
I did.
Whatever.
I did. I mowed the lawn.
Yeah. Well, and you couldn't do that if you had to watch the actual movie. You would have to sit down.
You'd have to sit.
Really commit a couple hours.
Unless you're on a rider. A lawnmower
That's
rider.
That's true.
You probably would get your lawn done the fastest you've ever got it done if you're on a rider listening to
that
podcast.
True. That's a very good point.
Can you mow and drift at the same time? Tune into Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift to find out. I'm going to actually listen to these back and watch my favorite of the movies.
Okay.
But I'm very excited to hear what we thought was good back then.
Yeah, I have no idea.
The first couple of these Fast Friends, they are very long.
Yeah.
I think this first one in particular, I think you're going to like it. It's a lot of fun. I had never seen any of the movies up until this point. You know, TK was the expert. You were coming in with like some of them under your belt.
Yeah.
We grade them as we go along. Matty O makes some appearances. So again, Fast Friends will be dropping every weekend until we lead up to Fast X.
Right.
And it just times out perfectly.
Yeah.
I think we've got it right. So.
Yeah, I think so. And Matty O has already requested to come on the Fast X episode.
Yes.
So.
And, well, Jerome wants to fly down from Toronto.
Well, let's make it happen.
To go see it in theaters together.
Let's do it.
Okay. Mm. All right. Okay, on today's Drop Podcast, we have Worst of the Week.
Yep.
Nominees. Five Star Friday reviews.
You know
that got pushed back a week. We'll do it on today's drop. Rapid fire fun. But first, we had another wedgie. Wedgie 42, and this is from Jazz rookie Ochai Agbaji attacking the glass here.
Oh.
And creating the wedgie action there and then hanging up on the rim. And then when he drops off, it pops out. I love that. So this was a unique one.
This
was
a
lot
cool
of
one.
Sort of, offensive putback wedgies. It happens every once in a while, but... Woo, what a pace, baby. 42.
That was a damn unique one.
Yeah.
That was extremely unique. I can't really remember a putback like that where it goes directly in.
Yeah, more of like the tip variety. We see those every once in a while.
Attempts.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
but
that
he was
different.
Hitting the glass hard and giving us 42 there. Okay, guys, we have an update on Kevin Durant from the Suns themselves. He's expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks with that ankle injury that he sustained during warm-ups of the home opener the other night. Yesterday, I said on the podcast, Arizona Republic was saying, ooh, there were reports that it was going to be 4 to 6 weeks. He might miss the entire rest of the regular season. I guess that's still in play because it's like a reassessment after these 2 or 3 weeks. It's a little confusing that we're getting both of those. But yeah, what do you think this means here, in all honesty, for the Suns? KD definitely going to miss like 10 games here.
Yeah, well, 2 to 3 weeks. We'll see. He should be back for the stretch run. You got to assume. If he is back for the stretch run, if he's back to get some games under his belt with the Suns before the postseason, I think it's a tiny step back, but not all that big. They're still going to be underdogs to the Nuggets. The Nuggets are the favorite. No matter what, even if Kevin Durant played every game, the Nuggets should be the favorite. But when it comes to the other teams, Kings, Grizzlies, Clippers, Warriors, Mavs, all those other teams, regardless if Durant is coming back for a few games or if he played the whole time, they would still, to me, be either a pick 'em with those teams or the favorite with those teams. So I don't think it's a huge deal. He's played 3 games. They've won all 3. Those other 3 main parts in the starting lineup did go to a finals together in Booker, Paul, and Ayton. He's not a guy who needs to bring up the ball. They don't have to really get used to playing with him a lot because he's off the ball and he's just... you know, an assassin. They obviously looked good with all 3 of them in there. And so, look, the 3-week mark, let's say, if he comes back, it's great for them because they played the Nuggets, not once, but twice, basically at the 3-week mark and the 4-week mark. So that bodes well for them to get a couple looks at the Denver Nuggets. Although I will say, I think head coach Mike Malone, the Nuggets, will say, you know what? If we got the number 1 seed locked up, we're not even going to play Jokic. I don't want you guys to get a look at her offense.
Don't show him anything.
Malone is that kind of guy. Yeah. I think he will. And this is a kind of a crazy comparison at first when you think, at first glance. But the 2021 Brooklyn Nets with their superstars in Harden, Irving, and Durant had only played 8 games going into the 2021 playoffs together. Not a lot. They go into the playoffs. They smoked the Celtics in five games. They won pretty easily. Then they did lose to the eventual champions in the Milwaukee Bucks in round two. But they lost Harden a minute into game one, and they're still up 2-0 in that series. And then they lost Irving in game four. They're still up 3-2 in that series. And Harden tried to come back. And in game seven, if Kevin Durant has a, you know, a bit of a smaller shoe, then they win that series and they don't go into overtime. And maybe they're not entirely gassed when it goes to overtime if they do have their guys. Obviously, you know, it's not apples to apples, but at the same time, they show that they could play these guys together. Devin Booker has shown that he can be a number one guy. I think we kind of overlook how tough this dude is, playing Lou Dort the other day, dropping 44 on him. I think they have all the pieces. I'm not all that worried, as long as Durant comes back and he's playing basketball and looking good. So 2 to 3 weeks, it's not bad. It's not all that bad, I don't think.
What do you think?
I think Tass is right. I think that the Suns can definitely survive this because Kevin Durant, it feels like he'll at least be back for the last little bit of the regular season. The guy missed 2 months and came back like he had missed no time at all.
Yeah.
KD always comes back and looks like KD. He's also easy to just play alongside with. And like you're saying, Tass, the Suns have a support system to fall back on. A finals nucleus, basically, in Chris Paul, Ayton, and obviously Devin Booker. The other good thing is they have a 3-game lead over the Clippers for fourth in the Western Conference. And to me, that's got to be the goal for Phoenix going forward, is hang on to home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. And I think that's a pretty reasonable goal and something that they could likely achieve.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, Booker over his last four, all in wins. He's scored 37, 35, 36 in that 44 against OKC. He's made 60% of his shots over that stretch, 16 to 30 from deep. So he's proving, like, KD or not, he can carry the Suns here, and he's getting back to that all-NBA sort of level, all-star level. It is disappointing that the Suns' next game is on Saturday with the Kings coming to town, and we'll get to Sacramento and their win last night. That's just a bummer. Phoenix has the 2-0 lead against the Kings in their season series. So they win on Saturday. If they can pull that off, they would secure the tiebreaker there if those two teams were tied at the end of the year. Unlikely, though. You guys are right. It's feeling like the Suns are, like, settling into the fourth seed.
If they beat the Kings, they're only a game and a half back of the Kings.
I guess. They could catch the second or third seeds above them. You're right. But that they are helped out by these teams behind them floundering a little bit here, and that they should have home court advantage at least. And I think he probably does miss 9-10 games here. They're gonna play it safe. I mean, yeah, you want to build chemistry, but you guys just made a great point about, like, this is Kevin Durant. He's like the ultimate plug-and-play player. So you have a championship potential to get out of the West or even to win the whole thing. So you're not going to rush it. But that would still give him 6 or 7 games at the end of the regular season to maybe get a little more, you know, chemistry and confidence with his team there and figure it out. Because they were starting to figure out in the limited time he did play those 3 road games. He hasn't even played a home game yet.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's sort of weird.
And he's going to miss playing in front of Golden State fans once again.
Oh my God.
Hasn't played in front of fans since he left the Warriors for the Nets. And also, depending on when he comes back, he's going to miss another road game in Oklahoma City, and maybe a second one. He could come back Sunday, April 2nd in Oklahoma City. Probably won't do that. My guess, April 4th, San Antonio Spurs. Nice, easy landing spot. Yeah. I think his first game was against the Hornets, right? And that was kind of on purpose. So bring him back against a team that it's going to be a walk in the park.
Okay. In other just injury news, an MRI on the left thigh of Luka Doncic revealed no damage. So that's good news. And a return to the lineup will come as the discomfort allows him. So nothing like super, super serious. They need all the wins they can. Obviously, the Mavericks, they're like 3-7 over the last 10. But it's not like he's out for the rest of the year and there goes your playoff chances.
No, he diagnosed himself and said it's going to be at least a week. It's probably going to be a week. And hopefully he'll come back. He was trying to play through it. He is a guy who plays through injuries. A lot of injuries are happening, I guess, as maybe it's because we're sort of putting every single game under the microscope, but some weird stuff. We've been watching the league for a long time. You don't often see a Durant ankle injury like that in warmups.
No.
And then last night, not as many people talking about Jonathan Kuminga of the Warriors doing the exact same thing in warmups and then having to miss the game. Some strange stuff.
I think these are very relatable injuries because I've sprained my ankle just walking around. But I'm a big fool, not an NBA player.
Right.
So I don't know. Like, seeing the KD one, it didn't look super serious. Like, I'm actually kind of surprised that he's missing this much time.
Yeah.
But also the look on his face when he landed, he's like, what just happened?
Yeah.
How did I roll my ankle? Warming up. And same thing with Kuminga.
Yep. All right, let's get to some of the games from Thursday night. Let's start with, oh, they're talking. They're discussing the podcast. We had Jones and Jackson help the Grizzlies beat the Warriors 131-110. I'm, of course, alluding to Harlan's incredible call where Brooks and Draymond Green went again forehead-to-forehead, forearm or armpit-to-nose. I don't know how you want to describe it, but a hilarious call from Harlan on that one. And the Warriors lose again on the road. Got crushed here by the Grizzlies. They got back into the game. Curry brought them back, but in the end, that's a pretty dominant victory. Do you have any faith left in the Golden State Warriors at this point?
It's definitely diminishing, for sure. Especially because I'd say there's their second best player, the player that helped them go to the finals last year, and Andrew Wiggins. Let's call him their second best player. He was the second most important player, sure, going into the finals because he gives them something in a big wing that they didn't have. He's been out for a long time. There is no date for him to come back. It's been 10 games, and that sort of bridged the All-Star game. So it's been a long time. He's got personal issues he's dealing with. They need him desperately. They need to get in a flow. This is a flow team.
Yeah.
We do have a month. So I'm worried more than I am for them than the Phoenix Suns. They're kind of locked into to just outscoring teams because they've thrown Kevon Looney to the bench. I guess they're just trying to see all their wings and get a lot of confidence for their wings and Dante DiVincenzo and all that going into the postseason to see if they can play small. But yeah, it's worry hours for sure for the Golden State Warriors. In a game, they're going up against the Grizzlies who don't have Stephen Adams and Brandon Clark. It's a pretty good matchup for the Warriors. They can beat them. They can out-rebound those teams. But the Grizzlies still hammered them on the glass. Mm-hmm. And we talk about podcasting trash talk. After the game, Draymond Green still says, yeah, we're good. It's March. Don't worry about it. But the Grizzlies came out and took care of business. A good win for them. Again, the Warriors are just a flow team. They need their guys. So, yeah. I'm worried without Wiggins, without Gary Payton II. Those are key pieces.
They're nearly like the worst defense in the league on the road. Like, that's how bad they are. They're much better at home when it comes to playing a little defense. I think their offense doesn't even change that much from home to road splits, but near the bottom of the league?
Crazy,
that is nuts. I mean, you're still led by a team of Draymond Green, who is obviously a good defender, but he took an L last night after talking all that shit to, clapping back at Dylan Brooks, and then, they got punked.
They got punked?
Yeah.
Draymond went for 16 points and 7 assists, though. That might be season highs, for all I know. But, it's weird to see Steve Kerr, changing the lineup every single night. Clearly trying to find something that still works. Obviously, he's got to deal with the Wiggins absence right now. But you say Draymond's leading them. I don't think so. Not right now. When you have a guy, the emotional leader of your team, saying, we don't care about this game, it's pretty obvious. And that kind of explains to me why they've been so bad on the road. They're saving it for the playoffs. I do still have faith, but it's dwindling. It's going to come down to matchups the way it always does. And there are a lot of teams ahead of the Warriors that I think the Warriors would be favored over come playoff time. But the margin for error is not very big for the Warriors right now. And they haven't gotten great performances from their vets like they did last season. Not to mention Poole has had a really, really tough season. I think that's a guy that was supposed to take on a huge responsibility this year. And I don't know. The focus just isn't there. They're probably just trying to turn it on come postseason time. But it's a little bit postseason time right now. You don't want to be in the play-in tournament. And right now, you probably don't want to be the fifth seed if the Suns are going to be the fourth seed.
Yeah.
You don't want to play them in the first round.
Yeah, I'm excited that the NBA scriptwriters might be leaning towards giving us 4-5 matchup Suns-Mavericks. That would be fun and spicy. And then it's possible that we could have a 3-6 matchup between the Grizzlies and the Warriors. Though you're right, TK. They could very easily be in a play-in and have to win their way into a 7th or 8th seed the way they're playing right now. And I just like... They're going to be the weirdest team if they get in by way of the play-in, or if they're the sixth seed or better. The Warriors will be so weird for guys that bet on this thing. Like, what will you do in the Warriors? Like, we talk about them always winning a road game in a series, but they're like, they can't win road games at all this year. And is it just a matter of like, oh, they're just not trying? They're just not playing hard? They're not locked in? I don't know. But I'm not convinced they can win 4 series on the road. Not at all. But
that's fair.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think that's crazy.
It's fair. They put it all together for a couple months last year, but they had a great flow during the regular season. It's just hard to do that again. That's why teams don't repeat. I know this isn't a sexy name, but Steve Kerr does have the card of putting Kevon Looney into the starting lineup. He would stabilize a lot of things. He's just their stabilizer in a way, and he knows that he can put him to the bench at any time and bring him back, and he's going to board. He's going to defend. He would help. So he's trying. Kerr is still looking for lineups. It's scary a month out to be looking for lineups. Gary Payton II again, a big key to that. He wants him to come back. He's going to come back with 2 weeks left in the regular season. I know he's played with them before, just not this season. The Wiggy thing, he's got to get into game shape. I'm sure he probably stays in good game shape. But, there's a lot of moving parts here. This ain't last year.
Let us know, do you believe in the Golden State Warriors' chances to make a deep playoff run and even compete for another title? Moving on, Sabonis, another triple-double from this guy. Kings topped the Knicks, 122-117. And Knicks beat writer Fred Katz, he was asking the question on Twitter last night, is there a better vibes team in the NBA than the Sacramento Kings?
Oh, vibes rankings.
Yeah. I don't think there is. How could there be? I mean, they're into the number two seed. They're lighting the beam left and right. They're 7-1 since the All-Star break. They have the greatest offense we've seen in NBA history.
Without a doubt, the greatest offense of all time.
It's the vibes are great, though. And obviously a team that has made the playoffs in 16 years, too. There's that whole thing where they're going to snap this playoff drought in style here.
In style.
And
second seed. That's very stylish.
An entertaining game. A very fun game where the Knicks got back into things because they did work on the glass and no Kings player could box out Josh Hart. But they pulled it off in the end, and it was like, I mean, it was Fox and it was Sabonis leading them to this victory.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Kings have the best vibes because this was kind of the vibes bowl. Knicks vibes have been great recently. Julius Randle's very up and down vibes-wise, but I feel like when Jalen Brunson is out there, specifically, Julius Randle's vibes increase. Weird stuff. Obviously, Jalen Brunson missed the second half of this game, so that hurts the Kings' vibes. But something that was the Knicks' vibes, something that's helping the Kings' vibes, though, was Josh Hart continuing to guard De'Aaron Fox down the stretch. They even said it on the broadcast. I think Grimes is doing the best job on him, and he wasn't out there for, like, the key possession. Fox obviously roasted him. The guy's going to win the Jerry West this year, but that was strange to me. I would have thought that Grimes would get first choice. And then Quickly would kind of be my second choice for a guy to guard Fox. Obviously, Quickly didn't have a great game last night, so maybe his confidence was a little down. But Hart wasn't able to do it. Had no chance staying in front of him. And then Fox has great conditioning, great speed. As soon as he leaves him in the dust, he's at the rim right away.
Yeah. What'd you think?
That's a good point about the vibes bowl. Knicks have to be a little decimated here that Jalen Brunson comes back, leaves with the foot injury. He looked so good to start this game. Was balling a 19-point first half. Looked phenomenal. They just were looking so great, hopefully for them. It's only 14 games remaining here in the skid that he comes back and they got a good flow. He's got to probably sit out just a bunch of games, a bunch, and then come back and get the vibes back, get them back at least into second, into the vibes rankings. Because right now, the Kings have got it all. I'm sure Mike Brown was extremely peeved that they gave up that 21-point lead, but then their closer, yes, he could win the Jerry West Clutch Player of the Year award. Sure feels like it. It wasn't even clutch time, but he came and closed this game.
Yeah.
TNT, that's why the Kings have had such a phenomenal year, especially because they've done it on TNT a couple times here. They've never done anything on TNT. I can't even remember prior to this season.
Yeah.
To give some national spotlight, it was a one-point game, 10:30 left. He got into a beautiful mid-range shot that he created. Then he forced action. Back-to-back-to-back possessions, picked up a foul, then hit a wing three, then he crossed over Hart for a jam, then he beat Hart off the dribble, hit a short floater, and then the clutch shot right at the end. He did it all. He won this game for them, and it's great that he's on national TV doing it, coming into his own. He's too fast. I do agree. You got to go a little longer because no one's fast enough to keep up with this dude. Grimes is probably the guy to me.
You said he might win Clutch Player of the Year, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I'd pick him.
How do you feel about Sabonis' chances of an All-NBA nod on the third team, likely as a center? Obviously, Jokic and Bede 1-2. And then, who is the third center? Is it Sabonis
or Bam,
maybe Brook? That's it. And I think it's Sabonis. I think he's played the best of all three of those guys, especially if they're the number two seed.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm in. I mean, I think he'll probably be the third team center when you really think about it, because like that one is always the one that's up for grabs.
Yeah.
It's been Rudy Gobert in the past. Bam has been good, but I think when you combine the team success that Sacramento has had and, you know, Sabonis is having an incredible season, I think he's going to be the guy. The only bad vibes I would say on the Kings right now, Michael Burton Brown. After this game last night, that's not how we should be playing basketball. I'm not happy with the way we played tonight. 23 offensive rebounds? I'm happy about the win. That doesn't sit well with me at all.
Yeah.
Those are the vibes you need from a coach. Yeah, right. We won, but we didn't look good. And we want to look good.
That's good.
I love it, Michael Burton.
Michael Burton, with some, that's a playoff mentality right there.
Totally.
And De'Aaron Fox as well. He's quoted saying, when we make the playoffs. Not if we make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We can't give up leads like that. When we make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Things have changed. In Sacramento, they are going to make the playoffs.
I definitely think it is Sabonis, too, to be on that third-team All-NBA team and deserving of it as their center. They run so much stuff through him, and they lead the league in, like, in handoffs, and a lot of that is him. Like, it's, like, him operating with it.
That's some sick
stuff. I know, that's
stats
some sick
right
stuff.
There.
Well, this is a great note from Chris Herring, who had a nice article on the Kings and their offense. The Kings play one-on-one less often than just about any team in the league, but when they do, it pays off with the highest scoring rate on isolation looks. And again, that's a lot of Sabonis. The ball moves. He is a willing passer. He's Jokic light, if you want to call him that. But then he will abuse you if guys are staying home on the shooters. You're worried about Fox, where he's cutting. And he's like, all right, well, I'll just put your ass in the net. Like, he's a big dude. And he's doing all of this with, like, a fractured hand or thumb. Like, remember this guy, like, may have sat out if he was on a team that obviously didn't have designs to go to the playoffs and stuff like that and end that streak or whatever, the playoff drought. So I think he's deserving. I think Bam's a great player too. I think it's going to be him, though, getting that third spot after Jokic and Embiid. Any other notes from this one? Oh, this run they're on scoring-wise, the Kings, they're averaging 133 points per game. I'm rounding up from 132.9 to 133 points per game over this 7 out of 8 win streak. The only team over the last 30 seasons with a higher scoring average over an 8-game span is the 2018-19 Golden State Warriors. Pretty good offensive team. And so the Kings are just like, we thought Brown comes in here, maybe there'll be a little bit more of a defensive identity. And it's like, nah.
They still suck on defense.
Who cares? We've got shooters now. Fox is taking a leap. Sabonis, we run things through. Who cares? Let's just outscore teams. And that's what makes this team really fun to watch on TNT or on League Pass. They're entertaining and they're winning. And they have guys that can close it out, especially in Fox.
Yeah, I thought they got into a little too much isolation ball yesterday, and that kind of hurt them yesterday. But yeah, in a league that's going all pass, they're still running the ball. A lot of handoffs like that.
Three other games last night. I'll give them to you all. We can talk about as many as you want. Brooke Lopez coming up big. 9 blocks. Bucks edge the shorthanded Nets 118-113. Nets played a lot of bench guys. A whole lot of minutes. Oubre and Terry Rozier helped the Hornets beat the Pistons. That's their 10th straight loss. I think Detroit is officially out of the playoffs. I think it's official.
Really?
Yeah.
Detroit shocking.
Yeah. And Lauri Markkanen scored 31. Jazz beat the Magic to end a 4-game skid. They needed that one to stay in sort of within striking distance of the play-in here. Any thoughts? TK, get us started on any of those 2 games.
I got a few thoughts for you. Number one, Lauri Markkanen got 2 dunks last night. He's now in the 100-100 club.
Woo!
Stay tuned for a short.
Let's go.
Jerome is finishing it today.
Jeez, you guys are on fire right now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Also, I'd love to see a Terry Rozier mention. We talked on Playback this week. He probably has the highest points per game to fewest mentions ratio. We never talk about Terry Rozier.
Right.
He's on the Hornets. I mean, they're not great right now,
no.
But he had a good game. He's had 2 good games this week. Good job, Terry Rozier.
Who else was in the running for our guys that score over 20 points per game that we have mentioned the least on the podcast this year? It was like
Kelly Oubre is another one.
Kelly Oubre is another one for sure.
Kelly... How do the Hornets have 3 guys averaging 20 a game? One of them is LaMelo. He only played 36 games. But Terry Rozier, 21.3. Kelly Oubre, 20.3. We never talk about those guys, but they're living it up right now. Back-to-back dubs. Who else did we say was in the mix?
I mean, Kuzma, we talk about.
Kuzma comes
still
up
more
quite
than
a
those
bit.
Guys. Jeremy Grant and Anthony Simons.
Keldon Johnson.
Keldon Johnson was, we thought, the winner.
Yeah.
You know, Spurs
That's a
have
good
been
one.
Brutal, and he scores over 20. Yeah. Okay.
And the only other thing that I have is in the Pacers-Rockets game, we saw a little bit of a changeup from Tyrese Halliburton. We always talk about players going for their career high in points against the Rockets. He got his career high in assists.
Nice.
19 assists for Tyrese Halliburton. Hit a bunch of clutch shots in overtime as well. So, cool.
Yeah, thanks for picking me up there, too. I forgot to include it in the other action.
How could you, man?
I know. Pacers-Rockets. But Brook Lopez, I got a little trivia for you guys. I said he had 9 blocks, just shy of a triple-double because he had 24 points, 10 boards, and then that career-high 9 blocks. Statitudes trivia, only players in Bucks franchise history to have more than 9 blocks in a single game. Hit me. There's 2 guys.
Lou Alcindor.
You're right.
Nice.
Kareem, 1973. Call him Lou. And then this is a fun one. This is why I'm asking the question. And here's my hint. Okay, Trey, Tass, everybody, here's my hint. It's a visual hint. So sorry, podcast listeners.
Larry Sanders.
Nice. I give a big thumbs up.
That's nice.
2012, that's nice. Both of those guys had 10 for the Bucks in a game. But Brook Lopez, man. Whew. They've won, what, 19 of 20 now? Milwaukee has? Starting to convince a lot of people that, yeah, they probably are the favorites to win this championship again. Just this run they're on. Guys in and out of the lineup, doesn't matter. I think they're on the good vibes list, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Definitely.
They've
definitely
been there for a couple of years, if we're being honest. What a win. That's all the action from last night, guys. It was a pretty quiet night overall, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got Worst of the Week nominees. We got 5-star Friday reviews and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with your boys here in the Classic Factory on a Friday. Let's get to Worst of the Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Worst of the Week.
I'll give you a few nominees. You guys tell me who the winner is. First nominee is actually a double. The Celtics' Grant Williams and the Cavs' Donovan Mitchell. 0.8 seconds left in the game. It's all tied up. Grant Williams going to the line, just has to hit one free throw. Donovan Mitchell goes and talks a little trash to him at the free throw line, and Grant Williams says, I'm going to make both. And I said it 3 times because he literally said it 3 times as well. Now, Grant didn't hit either. So, worst of the week nominee. That makes sense. But why does Mitchell get it? Well, the trash talk worked. So why? Why, Tass? Well, because Mitchell said this week that his trash talk was this. He told Grant they had a Players Association call on Thursday, so he should miss one of those free throws so they could talk about it then. Lame. Terrible trash talk. It did work.
It worked.
But in the lame department, and you don't have to say it afterwards. Keep it to yourself. It did work. But we got a Players Association call. Let's so we can talk about it then. I guess they talked about it, which stinks for Man. Grant Williams. But anyway, both get it. Both get the nomination for worst of the week. Who's worse, Grant or Donovan, for that trash talk?
I'll go Grant Williams because he had a chance to win it, and he was confident in telling him he was going to hit both, and he couldn't even hit one. Didn't even need to hit both, as we talked about. He got a little too greedy in his prediction. But the Mitchell part is funny. I wonder if it worked in the sense, like, you know, when someone goes like, hey, man, I'll see you at that meeting on Friday, and you're like, oh, crap, I got a meeting on Friday? And your brain starts going, hold on, I thought I was headed to the cabin this weekend. What do you mean we got a meeting on Friday? We're talking to neutral again? What's real now? Yeah, exactly. So maybe that was a part of it. Like, Grant's like, not that I'm going to call you out on this call, but it was more like, oh, no. I'm not prepared at all. Yeah.
We got a presentation.
Yeah. So it worked. But I'm going Grant as the worst of this. Worst of the week nominee.
Yeah, he's the one that choked. So it's got to be him. Maybe Mitchell just confused him. He's like, what? You're bringing up the Players Association call right now? It would throw you off, I think.
Yeah.
And Mitchell did approach him between free throws as well, prior and between. I mean, the approach in the, between the free throws was more talking to his guys. So I don't think he said the Players Association thing twice, or he didn't go through the agenda of the Players Association meeting, I don't think. It's just remarkable. I said earlier in the show, we've seen a lot of weird things. Durant, Kuminga getting injured pregame. A guy talking trash while mentioning that they have a Players Association meeting has never been done in NBA history. So this has got to be the first.
Chiggs in the stream team says, that's how old people be trash talking at the bingo hall.
Yeah.
Just for some reason. All right,
we got a union meeting Friday. You ain't going to be marking that high spot.
Part of it, too, though, like, give some credit to the rest of the Cavs players for icing, I think, Grant Williams a bit. They did a great, like, song and dance of, like, hey, am I standing on this side? Are you standing on this side? Like, they did some delaying, which, you know, you do to, like, a free throw kicker and stuff like that. And, like, just they're at the line thinking about it, or they're waiting to line up and kick it. It's, like, too much time. So they did a good job. It was, like, I think Worldwide Wob clocked it at, like, 40 seconds or something where they really were, like, just, like, kept moving around. And the refs let them do it for a little bit.
That's why he missed him. It stinks for him because maybe what actually plays a part is that he hasn't been playing a lot recently, got that DNP CD recently, maybe just hasn't been feeling good. But he is a career near 80% free throw shooter.
Yeah, he's a really good free throw
shooter. Yeah, so surprising there. All right, nominee number two, adults that use children to get autographs. Mm. Talk about lame. The lamest. That this is actually occurring. It's just a regular thing. Anyway, during or pre-Sixers Bucks, a child goes up to Giannis Antetokounmpo wearing a Bucks jersey, gets an autograph, then runs to a bunch of adults, hands off the autograph. The adults high five, and then she takes off her Bucks jersey and has a Sixers jersey underneath to go get an autograph. So there's a lot of parts here. Now the child is going to go get a Sixers autograph afterwards. She's got a double jersey on. The worst part though is there's three adults knowing that they're going to either sell this autograph or do something with it because they got a high five, then they examine the autograph. Mm. It's the worst. This is something that everybody knows about. It's become so commonplace. Outside players' hotels, you can see an adult, you know, push their child to the front of the scrum, the front of the fray, and they step back so they're not in vision of the player, but the player has to see a child. And what is a player going to do? Oh, go give this to your 55-year-old father so he can go sell it on eBay afterward. Pathetic! It's one of the worst things. It sucks. I know people were pointing out this in this instance because there's two situations here. There's the child that's going to go get an autograph from both players. But it's planted by the adult.
Yeah.
It's not a child who's scheming, who decided, you know, I want to sweat under this. I want to sweat tonight, so I'm going to wear two jerseys. I mean,
respect to the Tyrese Maxey jersey, I will say that. That was a nice little wrinkle to that.
I guess.
At least a lesser-known Sixers player, but maybe Dad really wants a Maxey signature. I don't know.
I don't know where the child was going, but that's just a shame.
You don't think the child could just be a Sixers fan who loves Giannis? Had a jersey, had a hat, The adult was wearing a Bucks credential?
Yeah, no, I think this is all a ruse to get as many jerseys as, or many autographs as possible.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Again, it was man-to-man high five as they came back. It wasn't a man-to-child. Wow, that's so exciting
yeah,
for
that's
you.
True. That's
it
a fair
did
point.
Feel like
that's a fair
it almost felt like a transaction. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I don't know the ins and outs. There's three adults. There were two kids. The kids were happy. So maybe, but I'm speaking to a larger point that it all sucks.
Yeah. But autograph scamming. I don't
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, these people were there early. This was pregame. Maybe there is some sort of credential happening. Maybe they're fans of the sport. Maybe they're an old Lee Ellis fans of all 30 teams. But you throw kids into the mix. You're the adult. Go get an autograph if you want it. You want that transaction.
Work for your autographs yourself.
Yeah, don't use your child.
Okay.
Poor children. Anyway, nominee number three. This is real stuff here. The relationship between the players and the referees, because the temperature is rising. It's getting hot. It feels like it's going to end in some fisticuffs. It feels like it's going to end in a fistfight. Like,
wow.
It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And it's almost like there's a hatred out there. It's like I can't remember a point where the referees and the players have been at each other's throats like this much. Because Fred VanVleet, you know, in an actual incident this week, he went off about the referees, albeit very calmly, but he basically said the referees are ruining the game. Called them some names,
yep.
The D's, and
he's got a $30,000 fine.
Got a
$30,000,
yeah. But other players
got his money worth. Then
yeah,
it's usually $25,000. He just went crazy on the refs. He called the refs dicks,
yeah.
And only got an extra $5,000.
I agree. That seems
called one out by name.
Incredible.
Said they're basically ruining the NBA.
Yeah.
He went. He got his money's worth.
I guess it's because he didn't yell. I guess because he wasn't
yeah,
like demonstrative, or else it would have been 50.
He was swearing. Every third line?
Yeah.
Yep.
I heard on the Hoop Collective today, they said it wasn't a rant. It was just a speech.
Mm-hmm.
like he had his points thought out. He had data to back things up. That was one of the great complaining about referees of all time.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But it's not isolated, because other players are basically saying, Fred speaks for us. Marcus Smart said to the media, he said, quote, I don't know if you guys have seen Fred VanVleet's interview, but that's all I'm going to say. Essentially, he speaks for us. Marcus Smart, arm in arm with Fred VanVleet, and everybody is talking about it in every organization. On The Athletic, Jared Weiss walked into Celtics practice on Thursday, and he wrote, it was clear words reverberated around the league, that those Fred VanVleet words reverberated around the league, because everyone from players to support staff and media were talking about it. They're all saying, did you see what Fred said? Did you hear what Fred said? According to Jared, he said, it must have been uttered 20 times.
Yeah.
And
you know,
it just
the part,
feels like it's getting hot.
And you know the specific part, I think, of the VanVleet rant or speech, whatever you want to call it, that probably resonated with a lot of players. I think, personally, it's there are these bad apple referees. I don't think it's VanVleet saying all these refs suck, because within his rant, he's specifically saying it's like, you know, he named Ben Taylor. And I think you didn't have to, like, think too hard about it, like Scott Foster the game before, that there are these specific refs that make things personal and are just a little too power hungry. That's what I think a majority of the NBA players are probably agreeing with VanVleet. Like, yeah, there's 3, 4, 5, whatever number it is, that are like, they're just drunk on power, and they like take over the game and they think they're the star. That's what I think is the part that Fred really rank true to these guys. That's my gut.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said the majority of referees try hard, work hard.
Yeah.
they try and make the right call.
He kind of did. He's like, there's 3 referees every game, and 1 to 2 of them mess it up all the time. Which I think is awesome.
Yeah. I'm reading into that a little bit. I don't think he means every single game that there's a shitty, shitty ref within those 3 officials, but
sometimes it's 2.
Yeah. Well, it depends who they are, is my point. Yeah.
Well, I actually think this is a great look for Ben Taylor, specifically. That's a guy that we didn't really know as a referee, but now he's been elevated to Tony Brothers' Scott Foster status.
I agree. I did not know Ben Taylor.
I thought he was just thinking basketball.
That's right.
But I guess that's how he knows so much, is out there watching the games.
I thought he was just James Taylor's son.
Reference for people.
Ain't that deep.
Yeah.
James Taylor, Ben Taylor, I'm going to go see them.
James Taylor.
James Taylor, yeah.
I've seen him twice in concert.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the calmest concert you'll ever go to. Everybody's sitting in their chairs.
That's why he makes a good referee.
That's why his son's so pissed off all the time, yeah.
Have you gone to his son's concert? His son is a musician, too.
No.
Oh,
what's his son's name?
Ben Taylor.
Wow, really?
Yeah. No joke.
That does it all, man.
He does it all.
podcast, and songs.
Too many names. You speak to a larger point. We know too many referees' names. That's a problem. We should not know their names. But they can go get some NIL deals out of it if they want. They should go get paid. So anyways, that's a real problem in the league going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Are y'all a little worried that the refs are going to take it out on the Raptors going forward? Since they've had two humongous blow-ups with officials? And the officials seem to keep track of such things?
Yeah, sure.
Nah, I think they're going to simmer. I think they're going to go into a Raptor situation and be calm and do their job properly. Not get all Scott Foster about it.
I don't. I think Trey's more probably on point here, but then again, you got to play in games that actually matter here. I guess they got some big ones coming up.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet did say we lost the game. In that particular instance.
Yeah.
It wasn't a tech in the third
quarter that completely changed the game. Yeah. I agree. But he's also like, he was still pissed off about the Scotty Barnes game, the game before. Yeah, and he's like, I'm tired of some of these shitty refs, so I'm going to say something here. And he's, you know, he's right in the sense that we do know some referees' names way more than we know others. And a lot of that's because they take over games and they make really ridiculous calls and they double down on bad calls and then toss guys because they said to their teammate, that's a bullshit call. Like, you should be allowed to say that in a very competitive, heated basketball game, I think. I don't think you should step to them. I don't think you should be able to literally drop F-bombs to their face, but you got to be able to vent a little bit with your frustration. You got to let that slide. That's what the good referees do. Hell, did Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks get a tech even last night for that armpit to nose
pit to
incident?
Nose?
No.
Sounds didn't. Like the referees are good at their jobs.
They were last night. That's what you should do. Nothing happened.
Who was reffing?
I don't know.
No one knows.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay.
Must not have been Ben Taylor.
Worst of the
he
week.
He was recording.
he was in the booth. or he was tweeting some things about basketball. Okay. Well, let's get to 5-star Friday reviews. Get a little positivity going here.
Oh yeah. 5-star Friday, the first or sometimes second Friday of the month. We read five of your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. They help us stay high up in those charts, which helps people find the show. Also, a shout out to Kenny Beecham, giving us a shout out.
Hell yeah!
Driving people here to the No Dunks YouTube channel. Thank you, and thank you to the stream team for tuning in. Feel free to drop a like, Larry Sanders style. A thumbs up. Our first 5-star review comes from a stream team legend himself, Hootski!
Hootski!
Also known as The Rescue, apparently, on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars for 5 bars. No Dunks hosts, this is for you! 5 stars, 5 bars, top 5, whoa boy, wedgie, big beef, applesauce, chuck and garlic, ayo! What does this all mean? Sub around and find out.
Oh, sub around.
Great
and
line.
That's a good line.
Sub around and
ooh,
find out.
I gotta write
out.
That down. Hold on.
These guys being dudes are the best. Come for the ball, stay for the larfs. And shout out to the Discord Dunkarooskies.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Hooski.
Sub around and find out.
Sub around and find out.
We're adding that to the lexicon here.
That's
good
very
stuff.
Good.
Hootski and the Dunkarooskies. Can't
that's
wait to
good.
Watch that show.
Our next 5-star review comes from BKGDP92, Best NBA Podcast, 5 stars. The only place for the latest NBA news followed by whistling to Celine Dion songs.
Yeah. Some weird endings to this podcast, no doubt.
Yep, stick around. Stick around, it's going to get weird. next 5-star review comes from Nico's Crete. Greatly appreciative of their talent. These guys used to be on NBA TV with the Starters, and I'd watch their show with my wife. The Athletic and No Dunks is a good partnership. It's a very fun podcast. I especially like they're trying to do more things like live watch parties on YouTube for 2022 All-Star Saturday Night, and this year, in person at a grill for 2023 All-Star, Skeets Test, Trey, JD, Jerome, thank you, miss you, Lee. Also, I'm guessing there could be a shout-out for Eshwa in here as well, so... Thanks, Nikos.
Yes, that's very nice.
Had a great time at the grill. 2023 All-Star.
So he meant the bar we were at for our live show? Yeah. I was confused.
Down at the grill. I like that.
Yeah.
You want me to write that down? Grill, yeah,
write that down. We're calling the bar the grill from now on. A lot of bar and grills out there.
Yeah, well, he seemed like he was from Greece. I think Nikos was Greek. Name was Nikos Crete. JD, they like calling things grills.
Like a bar? Yeah.
Yeah, they don't drink like animals there. They don't go to bars. They go to grills and eat.
Yeah, that's souvlaki is always on the menu. Right?
Well,
yeah,
well, that's ironic because that was our issue that night. We didn't eat it all. And we were feeling it the next morning, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but that's true. There was no grill at either of the places. Or we went to three places. Well, there might have been food, but it just never occurred to
us. You
want to
put that on our writer for next time?
Yeah, souvlaki?
Just grill in a green room.
Yes.
Green room grill.
100%.
They definitely had food because you can't be a bar in Salt Lake City without food on there.
Oh, that's a great
point. Great
call.
That's a rule.
We should have had something.
They only have grills. Yeah. So, just kidding. It says bar in a giant sign if it's a bar. Our next 5-star review comes from Afro Jawa, who says, great show, great show. And then starts the review, great show. But what I'm really here for is trying to get the guys to do a Dune podcast. Call it No Spice or something good. Y'all aren't the creative ones. But over 25 plus books, and it could be like a once in a while thing. Because the books are long. But it could be the new watching The Fast and the Furious. I feel like JD would love the books, and I want to see him react about the ending of book 3. Great show. Can't say anything negative about it. Been listening for years, since 2014-15. I'm cheated. I was also watching The Starters.
Nice. Mm. Thank you.
You ever read any of these books, JD?
I've read Dune, yeah. I've read it. It's one of the few books I've read more than once. Loved it, but I've never gone past... What do you say, 25 books?
Yeah, I was like, what?
That sounds like too many.
Too much
books.
Sand.
Too much sand. I am intrigued now with the book 3 reference. What happens at the end of book 3? Find out on No, what do you say, Spice?
No Spice.
No Spice. Yeah. Not bad.
I don't mind it. No Worms.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of calls for now a Dune podcast, a pickleball podcast, very hot.
Yeah.
And also one commenter, basically every day, asking for a disc golf podcast. Because apparently it's hot. It's a hot league.
They added one in our neighborhood. Like a local park has been transformed into a disc golf course. I'll admit, when they were doing it, the plans, I'm like, who is going to do this?
It's full.
Packed.
Yeah.
Every day I walk the dog down there, there are so many people.
If you can walk a dog, you can disc golf.
A lot of people play with their dogs.
Really?
They do.
Play.
And it's it's got that me thinking, like... should I pick up some discs? Get out there.
Pick up some
discs. That's a great sport to walk around with a dog.
I guess, but isn't your dog chasing the frisbees?
You can teach him not to. They seem to not. The ones I see that walk around with their teams.
They're leashed. These dogs are leashed.
Not some of them. They're just well-behaved dogs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I might check it out. I suck at throwing a frisbee, though.
Yeah. They're like, they're in the trees and stuff. You got to like hook them around. Looks fun. I'm going to go do it.
Yeah, I might try playing it, but we are not doing this golf podcast.
This was it.
Yeah.
Did one. That's the most you're getting. Unless, you know, people start playing, then surely it will filter into the shows.
Right. When ML Disc Golf, Major League DG.
MLDG.
There's a league.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
It's big.
Yeah.
You got to be.
You can get one of your kids to get a disc golf scholarship if you want.
Oh, my God. Are you
kidding?
Send
them to school.
It's been suggested, and they're like, no. That's goofy, they say.
Oh,
come on.
Going to college is not goofy, kids. Yeah. It's goofy. Anything is like, you know, I said this the other day on one of the shows. I tried to give my kid cash to pay for something. He's like, cash? I'm not paying with cash. That's goofy.
That's on an upcoming episode of Is This Good, actually.
I don't know what's real. I don't know what's
I don't
not
know.
Real.
Is it live? Is it taped? Is this live? I don't know.
Goofy. I'm being goofy now.
All right. It's time for the most confusing 5-star Friday review we've ever had. It's 1-star.
Oh, Jesus.
One
come on,
star
Wesley.
Only from Wesley97. But listen to this. Hoops, laughs, and a whole lot of heart. A rhyming review of the No Dunks podcast. This sounds like it's going to be a good review. Listen up, folks. I got news to impart. No Dunks is a podcast that will steal your heart. With jokes so silly and humor so smart, it's the best basketball show right from the start. Usually late. The hosts, Skeets, Tass, Trey, and JD, they're a blast. Their insights on the NBA will make your day fast. With laughter and cheer, they'll make it a blast. It's the ultimate podcast. You'll be pleased at last. So grab some popcorn, get ready for a treat. With these guys around, you'll be tapping your feet. Basketball's never been so fun, a guarantee. Just give No Dunks a listen. You'll have a slam dunk spree. That is a 5-star review.
But not.
Dressed in 1-star clothing. So thank you, Wesley. But also anti-thank you for ruining our rankings.
Yeah, what the hell, Wesley? Fat thumbed it? Is that even possible?
I think it's a fat thumb. It's got to be. My mom did the same thing once upon a time. We were calling for 5-star reviews. She wanted to help out her Bobins.
She gave us a 1?
She gave us a 1. If I'm not mistaken, she was our first 1-star review, and maybe even our first not 5-star review.
Ouch.
And she was she was feeling pretty bad. I was like, Mom, don't worry. The listeners and the stream team will come through and upgrade us to a 4.9 overall.
You can't edit a review, eh? Like, you can't leave a 1-star and go in and say, you know what? These guys killed it this week. Up to 3 stars.
Now, here's the thing. Because you know I follow the Capono tracker very, very closely in the Apple Podcast comments, often talking about updating reviews. So I don't know what the deal is for editing them. But, Wesley, you got a chance to make things right. Because that was a beautiful poem.
It was great.
A great review, but a terrible star number.
Do you think that your mom subconsciously gave the show a 1-star because the show took you away from her?
Wow.
First to Canada.
Oh, jeez.
And now to Atlanta. And she's very supportive. She did what you asked her to do. And I don't think she meant to do it, but subconsciously.
Somewhere. Maybe she subconsciously did. You might be right, JD.
Yeah.
You might be right.
Yeah. Just saying.
It's in play. We'll have to get her on and pick her brain.
How about this take from my mom? Atlanta is farther from Chicago than Toronto, but she says Atlanta seems closer.
Mm. Same country.
Same country is the only reason.
And she,
wow.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Sure. I love you, Mom.
All right. Thanks for those 5-star ratings and reviews.
And the 1-star. Thank you.
Yeah, that one too. Yeah. I mean, if you got a rhyme, you got bars like
that. You can rhyme.
Why not? All right, guys. Thank you. And as Hootsky says, sub around and find out. Do it. 5-star ratings and reviews. Not 1-stars. We'd prefer not to have those.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Pick 'em results from last night. Nets Bucks. Big, big line, Tass. Huge line. One of the bigger lines we've had probably this season.
Yeah.
I don't think we had a lot of these. And the Bucks were the favorite team by 13.5 points. They got it done in the end thanks to Brooke Lopez, but they only won by a handful. So that's a BKN win. For me, a rare one. 2-5. Trey got another one. He's 5-2. Tass falls to 3-4.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to trade.
No. That's right.
Commissioner Skeet said no.
No trades.
No trades in this pointless endeavor. Anyway, tonight we got 6 games. Eastern Conference play-in tournament battle at one of them. Battle of the 8th and 10th seeds. Let's get it on. Hope they get to March Madness. ATL favored by 1.5 on the road at Washington. I can't trust the Hawks, so I'm taking Washington plus those 1.5 points. You guys have the Hawks to win by 2 or more on the road.
Hey, do you want to trade?
Nah.
No, I was talking to the Trey.
Yeah, I'll trade you.
Okay, cool.
I'll trade you.
You got the Hawks?
Yeah, I'll take the Hawks.
Okay, I got the Hawks, too. All right, Tass has the Wizards. Got basically a point to play with there as the Dogs at home. They just played. They won by 2, right? The Hawks did. Porzingis going for 43. Can they do it again? In a big game for
both
these
teams
there in terms of jockeying for position. Okay, let's wrap up this Drop podcast with some rapid fire fun. Tass, you got the cues, we got the answers.
The Clippers are building a new arena, and this week owner Steve Ballmer got very fired up about one of the Intuit Dome's signature features. Quote, toilets! 1,160 toilets and urinals, three times the NBA average. To me, that sounds a little excessive. And a lot to clean. Wow, a lot to clean. What's one thing you have too much of? Skeets.
T-shirts. For sure. I got way too many T-shirts. I think I have close to 100 T-shirts.
Close to 1,160?
No, not that many, but way too many. And I'll include some random NBA jerseys, too, that I don't need, but I don't really know what to do with because I think I might need to wear them one of these days.
Might
but I have,
up.
Like, a Chris Paul Rockets jersey, a LeBron Cavaliers jersey. I inexplicably have four Warriors jerseys. I have an old school Weber, okay. But then I have, like, a Curry, a Durant, and a Green.
Big three.
I've got a Charles Barkley Suns jersey. I got a Nick Van Exel Lakers jersey. I'll actually wear that one. But a lot of jerseys I don't wear. And a lot of T-shirts I don't need. I don't know. I struggle to get rid of them, though. That's a weird thing. I don't have usually issues with getting rid of things that I don't use. I'm not like that. But when it comes to tees, I'm like, that's a cool design. I might have to wear that again. That's my answer.
You gotta give away the jerseys. The kids will like them.
That would be good, yeah. And my jerseys are fairly small, so kids could wear them.
Give away. All right, Trey.
I'm actually crushed to hear your answer, Skeets, because my answer was also T-shirts.
Whoa!
And I'm thinking, I wish I could be more like Skeets. That guy gets rid of everything.
But except T-shirts.
No, I'm hearing you're keeping your T-shirts. Yeah. What hope do I have?
Yeah, I know.
I feel like, for me, it's when I try and get my kids to go through their stuffed animals. They've got too many stuffed animals. Say they look at 200 of them, maybe two they're willing to get rid of. And
yeah.
It's the same with T-shirts.
Yeah,
you're
me
like,
too.
Wait, I do like this shirt. I should wear this. And then you don't wear it. And it just sits there. Mm. Let's count our T-shirts this weekend.
Well, I wish we were the same size. Because what we would then do is have a clothing draft. We
Let's
did
it anyways.
In high school. I mean, we probably should, yeah.
Swap some shirts.
Swap some shirts.
Swap some clothes. Why not?
It's
like,
yeah.
New to you.
It's,
like, it's great. But it's like, T-shirts, you also have like, well, these are my good T-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have,
oh, yeah.
These are my like, I'll wear under a sweater T-shirt. And then these are my like, just bumming around the house T-shirt.
Many different categories.
Doing the yard T-shirt. And then these are, you know, it's like you have levels, yeah, to your tees. I've got a whole box of just no Dunks T-shirts, or the Starters T-shirts, or the Basketball Jones T-shirts that I don't even have in, like, quote-unquote rotation because I want to just keep them for the one day when we eventually go into the Hall of Fame and we have just a T-shirt wall. Right?
What Hall of Fame are you referring to?
The Basketball Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Wow. That would be weird.
Why?
It would be weird for me if I was in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Well, contributions to the game.
Yeah, you're going to be in it one day. So keep your T-shirts is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because they're going to want these.
They're going to want our T-shirts.
Cool.
We're going to make quilts out of them.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk to Carrie Young. We'll make some quilts out of these.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah. Well, you need, like, you know how shoe heads have these huge shoe closets with, you know, with like, the different cubbies. You just need one of those. We're like... alphabetized shirt, T-shirt cubbies, kind of thing.
That's a great idea, Tass.
And then we got a bunch more from our man Ben Hunt when we did the College Skyhawks game. It was added to the T-shirt collection.
Oh,
some good ones in there, but we're loaded.
Loaded on shirts.
Loaded. Not to brag, but we are absolutely
we are loaded on shirts.
What do you
loaded
do with
shirts.
Your T-shirts? Do you put them in a? Do you roll them up? Put them in a drawer? Do you hang every T-shirt you own? That's a lot. I assume
I'm a cubby man.
Yeah.
Stacks on stacks, on stacks.
JD, you can get to the Hall of Fame, though, because I, in going to the College Skyhawks game, thought I was going to interview Langston Galloway, who is a huge sneakerhead.
Right.
One of his pairs of sneakers is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Just a pair of sneakers.
Okay.
Langston Galloway's shoes are in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Which ones?
They were one of these custom design, one of these, the cartoon character... Was it a Marvel?
Okay.
Like he was going on a run. Which one?
I thought he made his own shoes.
He does now. He's got his own shoe line.
I said that to somebody sitting beside me last night. I went to the Skyhawks game last night. And I said, I think Galloway makes his own shoes.
Yeah, they're the ethics line.
Yeah, okay.
I think think he was wearing the gumbos the other day. All right, JD, do you have an answer for this?
Yeah, I have an answer for this.
T-shirts?
It's not T-shirts. I don't have enough T-shirts. My kids steal all of my clothes. It's actually a problem. It's going to sound like an ad, but I got way too much of this generic hard seltzer in my fridge. You guys know. Rachel went to Costco, picked up a case of that. I don't drink this. I don't know why she grabbed it, but she grabbed it. But I got to make room.
You're sure this isn't
there
an ad?
There we go. There
I mean, it's
go.
Not an ad, but they are a sponsor of the show.
Yeah, they are.
They sent us this cool sign. They sent us a whole shitload of this real seltzer with real fruit juice and real vodka. And I can't wait to try it, but
well,
I can't chill it.
I'm taking some.
Yeah, okay. Well, great.
Okay.
Looks
okay.
Like you've been crayon hunting.
This is great for the crayon hunter because it arrived on our doorstep yesterday. So, yeah, it's, but honestly, like, I don't know why I have
get rid of those.
You just crack those, that's pour awesome. Them down the drain, and step on them.
But
that's so,
it's like
brand.
Waste, though. It's wasteful.
Send them back.
Not they're even an umlaut on that can. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm never drinking another hard seltzer without an umlaut.
There you go.
Costco takes everything back, number one.
Oh, that's a great point. That is a great point.
He could show up with that can.
I could take them all back and say, you know what? I don't like this.
Oh,
they'll take it back.
You can crack something.
They'll take it
back.
That's open
amazing.
It and say,
okay,
no,
do
it. This Nutella is too hazelnutty for me. Take it back.
I could just say, this is not neutral. Take it back.
Yeah.
And they take it back.
Yeah.
Courtney Kirkland would be happy to get back his NILs. Anyway.
You think Courtney Kirkland, the referee, is rich because of this Kirkland
Oh, those
brand.
Are his.
Yeah.
Never thought of that.
Good for him, Courtney.
I didn't name it, but yeah, you're right. It is Kirkland.
Yeah.
What, are you worried Kirkland's coming on in a couple months?
You never know.
No way.
Of course not.
No way, God, man.
Don't think so.
We're neutral, baby.
Courtney, give us a call. Next one. On Tuesday, the Pistons and Wizards were in a tight game late. The biggest reason Detroit was in it, Jaden Ivey. The Rook was having himself a fourth, 14 big points. But when it came down to winning time, tie game, 35 seconds left, Detroit with the ball. Isaiah Livers' number was called, and he did not convert. It's too bad for Ivey. Name a time you were passed up for something that you felt like you deserved. Skeets.
I don't know if passed up is the right way to put it, but I've been listening a lot to a fantastic podcast that a lot of people will know called How Did This Get Made?
Yes.
And in the summer of 2018, Paul, June, Jason, they did a live show actually from Chicago where they broke down the 1986 classic BMX movie, Rad. And I feel like I should have been on that podcast. I should have gotten an invitation to share my thoughts about the movie Rad on How Did This Get Made. And I'm still sore about it, but it is what it is. They don't know who I am.
Paul Scheer knows who you are.
Paul Scheer knows who I am, and I feel like I've talked enough about this goddamn movie over 20 years that I should be on a pod like that. So if they ever do it again, Paul, you know who I am. Holler at me, and we will talk Rad. Or maybe we should just do it ourselves. Heck, we could do that as well.
We 100%
But I could. Love How Did This Get Made.
We should.
Did they have someone on from the production of the movie?
No, no. I think it was just the three of them, if I remember correctly. And if I'm being honest, Paul, that podcast sort of sucked.
Wow.
It was one of their worst ones.
Huh.
Yeah.
This is how you get invited.
Their hearts were... Yeah. Like, hey, I speak the truth.
That's right.
Yeah, that's why I think I was extra disappointed. I was like, not only was I not on it, I was so pumped to listen to it, and I'm like,
Was it because they were shitting on it and it's your favorite movie?
No, it wasn't even that. I didn't think they shit on it enough.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, it was off. Their hearts weren't in it, I feel like.
Wow.
That was my opinion. Right, maybe I have to re-listen to it.
Let's do it this summer. I will shit on Rad. I will happily shit on Rad.
It's, of course, as you should.
Yeah.
All right, you want to do a... what do we call it? Film sessions for BMX movie Rad.
Okay, I mean, we got shows
in
to
the
do.
Summer.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The summer's summer. We play it loose in the summer.
I told you.
Okay,
just like Crew Jones.
Ooh, well done. What a pull!
Well,
the only thing
done,
I know,
sir.
And Lori Loughlin.
That's right. That's right. Don't
Sign
forget Bart Taylor, of course.
Ben's brother? James had two sons, Ben, who records and refs, and Bart, who rides and glides.
All right, Hell Track. We're going to Hell Track this summer. We're doing a movie watch for Rat or a podcast.
All right, Trace, a thing you were passed up for that got you peeved.
I think the Skyhawks could have let us play a possession. At the end of the game on Wednesday, it turned into a blowout.
Yeah.
It was near 30 points early in the fourth quarter. I think it ended up being about 25. We were in the locker room. We'd done a warm-up.
Yeah, yeah.
We had the gear. We were geared up.
Got so many t-shirts.
Yeah, I would have happily just stood in the corner. Don't even need to touch the ball.
Oh, come on. We got to run something.
Okay, yeah. We would screen for
you
each
guys. Got to run pick and roll action. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we could have got on the floor. I totally agree with you. We're so close to the floor.
We're so close. I mean, there was one time we were too close, and they were like slowly ushering us off as the game was starting to happen.
Oh, while you were doing like
that, was the closest we got to play in a possession.
Basically, every time we were doing an on-court hit, they would push us off slowly, gently.
Yeah, like there's a game happening right now.
Let's go. Did you ever touch the game ball?
No. No, it never bounced to us, but when we did, like, you know, just, like, little warm-up things, that was the first time I'd seen the Wilson game ball and had it in my hands.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was
just like a Spalding.
Yeah. When we went to a game, actually, sat courtside with my my family, a Ben Taylor-looking referee handed us the ball pregame, and my daughters got to touch it. That was exciting stuff. But in this instance...
Hold on, you weren't using your kids to touch that basketball, were you?
Absolutely.
Okay, pass it down.
And just like I was using Axel, I think he's 8 years old, he's a courtside fan, I was using him to get closer to the action as well. I thought we could use him to actually play a possession. Let Axel... Mm. Axel can run the point, right? Set a pick, swing it over... Let's run a possession, Axel. He actually got to coach a play. He drew up a play earlier this year.
That's cool.
He drew up a cool play.
Scoot Henderson tried to kill a man last night. He tried to dunk from like the free throw line, hit the ground hard. Everybody held their breath in the arena, but he was okay. But the ball, because he tried to dunk it like so hard, it bounced all the way back to the other end and rolled to me. But I was like so caught up in like celebrating the almost dunk. I just tapped it back.
Just a simple tap.
I didn't even like pick it up and dribble it a little bit. I regretted it after, but I was like, oh my God, he almost destroyed somebody.
You played it respectfully.
Yes, right. So, yeah. I looked like I sit courtside all the time.
Easy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you reminded me. I did touch the game, touch the ball at halftime. Errant ball during warm-ups. I held it.
And ball.
This is how you react if you do get an errant ball. You don't just roll it back on the court. I held it and waited. Because I couldn't see where it came from. I was waiting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, somebody called for it. Then I threw it to him. That's how you do it.
Didn't bounce pass or just straight up toss
straight
it
up,
to
straight up lob. Didn't want to hurt any fingers. Just a gentle touch.
Nice.
The hardest pass. JD, a time you were passed up for something you felt like you deserved.
Yeah. I struggled with this one because, you know, low self-esteem. I don't feel like I deserve anything.
Oh, come on.
But then
I would say the Basketball Hall of Fame, JD.
well, I haven't been passed up yet, have I?
Well, every year you've been passed up.
Oh, what the hell, man?
Nav Bhatia is in the Hall of Fame because he deserves it. You should get in it, too.
Yeah.
Goldstein's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You know what I thought of that sort of burned my ass every time was when we were working at Turner. And you guys would all get rides to the airport in limos. And me and Matt would be like hitchhiking. We're like, you don't get a ride. Like, but we're with that. Like, what? It's like, no, these are for them. Get this. This talent only. You know, when you're like created the show and then I'm going with my hat in my hand to Lee Ellis to say, hey man, can I get in your car to go and shoot this thing that you want to shoot for the 87 All-Star game? Do you mind if I join you in your limo? It burns my ass. I should have got my own car.
He would let you in the car.
He wouldn't
let you have the free waters.
He did let me have one of the small ones.
That's nice.
Palm size.
No, he graciously was like, of course. But it's like, you know what? Like, me and Matt should be getting rides to the airport. We could have shared a car to the airport.
Just like you shared a room.
Opens up Pandora's box, though, doesn't it?
Oh, boy.
That's what Turner was afraid of.
Yeah, everybody's got a car.
Everybody's going to get a car. For sure.
Yeah. The class system. You're a peasant, peasant. Stay there.
Yep.
Anyway.
That's a good answer.
Where I belong.
Next one. Circumstances can change very quickly for an NBA player. One second, you're a hero, bringing a country its first championship. The next, you look nothing like that player. Lately, I've been saying that the most prominent Lowry in basketball is Markkanen and not the beloved Kyle. Name one thing that just ain't how it used to be, Skeets.
Three answers. Airline travel, the price of eggs, and NBA Twitter. They ain't what they used to be.
Nope.
That's all
they
I got.
They ain't what they used to be.
I got faith in airline travel.
Man. You do?
Not Twitter.
Definitely not Twitter.
Eggs.
Eggs, you think, will come down in price?
Airline travel's all right.
Sure, yeah.
Airline travel's all right. Sorry. Yeah, so what don't you like about airline travel?
Oh, man, I can't smoke on an airplane anymore.
Yeah, it sucks.
That sucks.
Used to have an ashtray.
Probably still have the ashtray. Somewhere over there. So, just can't put anything in it.
You don't see an ashtray very often anymore.
Man, when you do. When you do, you throw a little piece of garbage in there. Wonder how long that'll be there.
Yeah, you throw a little piece of gum in there.
That's
right.
Wrap it up. There's a tiny ball of foil in every ashtray on an airplane. Guaranteed.
Yeah, for sure.
Trey, do you have three answers or just one thing? About...
Just one answer. Okay. Memes.
Memes.
Yeah, I miss the days of memes where there was white text on the bottom and on the top. In particular, I miss Scumbag Steve, my favorite meme of the times.
Good meme.
Yo, whose house is this? My bros need directions. What, Steve's bros there? That's ridiculous, man. Okay, who's a backwards Louis Vuitton hat? Crazy. Scumbag Steve. What an era. Impact font.
Impact.
Yeah. Hey, I love that
font. Impact font. Yeah, that one is good.
Do I use Impact font for our thumbnails?
I
thought
you
used Futura.
Oh.
Is it Futura?
Might be
Futura?
Might be right.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea. That's how I pronounce
it.
Yeah,
sure. Okay.
I'm checking. But we can get JD's answer while I,
all right,
while I open this thumbnail. Hold on. Reading Photoshop format. This computer's dying. Oh, boy.
Yeah, let me know, because no bunts coming up. We got to get some thumbnails going for that.
Futura. Good call. Condensed.
Yeah, a little tighter.
Sort of looks like Impact a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. Let's get back to the pastura, JD. Name one thing that just ain't how it used to be.
Right. Not an ad. Cue the Roman music. No, just kidding. Free range kids. We don't have them anymore.
They just don't go play.
Yeah, you know, like, go outside and don't come back until the streetlights come on.
Yeah.
That was my childhood.
That is true.
I've tried that with my kids, and, you know, when they were little, be like, just fucking go outside. There's a park down the block, and Rachel's like, we could get arrested. We could literally get arrested. But there's just kids at the park without parents.
Not on their leash.
You go to a park, it's all parents. Isn't that weird?
It's a lot of parents.
It's all parents.
Every kid's got a parent there.
Just saying.
You miss those guys.
Well, I'm not a kid anymore. My kids, I feel bad for them.
It's not, yeah.
You just go outside and play.
Your kids could, though. They're old enough now.
They're teenagers now, but I'm talking about, like, when they're small.
Yeah,
like,
agree.
You want to just open the door, ring the bell, and then they come back kind of thing.
Not even. When the streetlights come on,
was
come
that
back.
Your rule?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you also grew up in, like, you didn't grow up in a small town.
I
you
grew
up
in
the,
like,
city.
The city. The city.
Yeah, you're in Toronto. And did you have a radius that you were allowed? Because
there
like,
was a radius,
up with
for,
a radius. Like,
yeah,
you,
have a radius.
You
for
can't
bike
go past
riding.
This. Yeah,
for
yeah,
bike
yeah.
riding, which we ignored all the time.
That's part of the fun.
I mean, like 9 years old, would ride from Leslieville to the beach.
Wow.
On a bike. Like, I once broke my arm at City Nathan Phillips Square because I was skating when I was like in grade six.
Oh, you're
with badass. with a couple of friends, and I walked myself to Sick Kids.
Had my
you
own
don't hear that.
Can
as
you
much.
Imagine that? Like, can you imagine that? Mike, the parents would be like,
"Yeah,
where were you?" Anyways,
well, what did your parents say when you broke your arm and checked yourself into the hospital for a couple days?
Again, they said, because it was the third time that my dad finally showed up with his Rubik's cube, and he like we sat and waited, just fiddling with his Rubik's cube had just come out.
Rubik's Cube.
Was your
just
dad? Hold on. Was your dad really into Rubik's Cube?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a bunch around the house. He eventually had to buy a book to actually figure it out, but he got pretty good at it.
I thought I was older than that, but it's not. Wow.
I'm older than dirt, though. Remember that?
I thought I was older, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Around the 80s, it got hot.
It got hot. Got I don't hot. Know when got it came out.
74 was invented.
Yeah.
In Hungary.
Well, that was
74. Wow. Okay. No,
well, the Rubik's Cube was really the start of all these kids just staying at home, not going outside anymore, no, biking around. Yeah.
I don't think that's
that was like the original app.
That was
the original app when you think
the
about
original
it.
Original app. Okay. All right.
All right. That's rapid fire.
The worst part of it, the last thing. Now that I'm old, I don't get to do the get off my lawn, man. Like
to other kids.
To other kids. Like point. There's no kids around the neighborhood.
Say it's just like, squirrels.
It's a group of kids in our backyard. What's happening? That kind of thing. Keeping the balls that fly into your backyard.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, I want to be that guy. I don't get to do that. Because there's no kids.
There's no kids.
No kids around.
So instead you have to do that while you're playing Fortnite online.
That's right.
You get to yell at kids.
Yeah.
Through the internet. All right.
You want kids drinking Kirkland on your lawn, just tossing cans on your lawn?
Yeah, I want to be able to get rid of them with the garden hose, you know?
Do you wish your house, like, during Halloween was, like, you know, paper towel in your tree out there and eggs on your window? They're too expensive. You're not definitely not going to have that.
Yeah, not eggs, no. But,
I get you.
Yeah, you know? Let's have some mischief.
You just want to be your dad.
Maybe. Maybe.
Get this guy a Rubik's Cube.
Does anybody like Twitch stream Rubik's Cubes?
Probably super fast people and stuff. Yeah.
Short stream, though. All right, going live. Stream's over.
Yep, bye.
Leave us a 5-star review.
Well, we should just make rapid fire into a Twitch stream because it's not fast, I'll tell you that. Oh, but hopefully you guys had a blast here on the Drop Podcast. Let us know if it's a classic. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. You might make the next 5-star Friday fun in April. Leave us a little thumbs up like on the YouTube video. Subscribe, tell your friends. Thanks again to King of the Fourth Quarter, Kenny Beecham, for sending some people our way. We love to see that. Hopefully you guys are sticking around. We do this every day, Monday through Friday, talking hoops and talking about a bunch of nonsense. We will have that Fast Friends podcast, the first Fast and Furious movie, where I think we took about 2 hours plus to recap it. Get yourself up to speed for May 19th. Fast X.
Nice pun.
Get yourself up to speed.
Speed, yeah.
That is good.
Thank you. Don't be angry and get yourself up to speed. See what I did there? The furious part?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Check that out. We'll drop it on the weekend. If you're a Survivor fan, check out No Buffs. That's got its own podcast feed, its own YouTube feed. And we got No Bunts coming next week as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep you up to speed on that one. We'll keep you up to speed like your name was Vince Coleman. I don't know. Ricky Henderson I should have gone with.
Next podcast starting on deck.
That's good.
No Buns.
No Buns is on deck. Mm-hmm. That's coming next week. Anyway, the content in the Classic Factory nonstop. You'll love to see it. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday here at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, no bunts on deck. In the hole, though, it's Dune.
Brace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.